President-elect Trump has attacked Ford many, many times in his rallies and on Twitter. Are you canceling the plans to build this huge plant in Mexico because of the president-elect?
First, we do what's right for our business. This makes sense for our business. And we look at all factors, including what we view as a more positive U.S. manufacturing business environment under President-elect Trump. And it's literally a vote of confidence around some of the pro-growth policies that he has been outlining. And that's why we're making this decision to invest here in the U.S. and in our plant here in Michigan.
Oh, he ducked that question. He didn't answer that question. The CEO of Ford. I know this is so petty, given the news of Ford not sending these jobs overseas, having more manufacturing in the United States, hundreds of jobs. I could not stop obsessing on his toupee. I'm sorry, but it's the worst toupee on television. It's one of the worst toupees. Here's a message to women, to men. We women do not care about whether you have hair or not. I tell you, you poll women out there about whether you're bald or not, you have hair, not, nobody cares. They care about your brains, your personality, and whether you have a sense of humor, whether you're a good guy. Okay, that's what they care about. But it's, you can actually see the color. Drew, you see the color brown on the top and then his regular color on the side. It looks ridiculous. I'm watching it last night with Chris. We're sitting there. He said, what are you staring at? I said, you don't see the toupee? And of course, I said, Google it. He put in the CEO's name. And before you even finish his name, the word toupee comes up on the Google search.
And Laura, you're right, because guys do not look at that at all. I would have never caught that if you hadn't just said that. That's why I'm sitting over here cracking up so hard, because we don't catch that.
No, we catch this because it looks ridiculous. A man who has his own hair and a lot of it, my friend of 20 years at least, Joe Kernan from CNBC. Hey, Joe, how are you?
I'm well, Laura, but I got to tell you that I've been accused. I've been unjustly accused, and it's impossible to prove or to prove a negative or disprove it. I get it all the time about the toupee thing, and it's very hurtful if it's not. And I don't know in this case. I hope you're absolutely sure. That's all I'm saying.
Because, I am.
Okay. All right. Good. And I do notice the bad ones. I wonder. I go. You know. Did your wife see you leave this morning? Did you? I mean. It's bad when it's. You know, Trump. That's his hair, and he gets a lot of this too. I don't know if that's his hair color or not.
Well,
I also get the hair coloring, which I don't do either, Laura, as you know.
I love your hair. Your hair looks totally natural. Whoever's accusing you of having a rug does not have good rug radar. That's all I can say. They don't know what they're talking about.
That's why I'm getting off Twitter. I don't need it. You know, like too hurtful.
It's very hurtful. Let's talk about what happened yesterday with Ford. We'll get into the Obamacare cost to the economy and what the increased cost of healthcare in the premiums, out-of-pocket costs, what that has also done. But let's start with this Ford story. Tell us, in your view, what happened? How influential was Trump's tweet yesterday?
Well, nobody likes being shamed, obviously. And, you know, I'm not a stalker, Laura, but I did see you last night. Well, I think Tucker, maybe. You had it exactly right. I would never say the end justify the means, but whenever I hear jobs are saying, for whatever reason, I'm like, you know, just at first blush, I'm just really happy. But then again, I understand we're not statists. We don't control corporations. We don't tell them the way to maximize profits. So if you can use a carrot rather than a stick, that's the way that we need to do this. So if we can make the United States a better place to attract capital, a better, where capital's treated better, you know, where we have, you know, pro-growth policies put into effect, that was a great answer, toupee or not, that Mark Fields gave, I thought. And you know, whether these companies are actually knuckling under or whether suddenly, you know, they're going to be, you know, other companies are going to, you know, pretend they're moving just so they can get some type of tax break. These are all things to worry about. But just watching it happen, I'm glad that it's happening. We need to try and keep these jobs here.
I agree.
I think you had it right last night.
Well, thank you. I think when you look at the entire landscape for business in the United States today, and I've had a chance and a great privilege to meet so many senior level and CEO, CFO types over the years, and I have never met one who was happy about moving overseas. Not one time did I say, I meet someone say, oh, God, it's so much better to be in China. Oh, my God, it's so much better to be in Korea. Do you think they want to have their staff having to fly over to Asia to examine the companies and to tour the facilities and to keep? They don't want that. They want to be in the United States. I mean, that's what I find. Yep. Is that what you find in your interviews?
Definitely. You know, but there may be a company that sells the product where they're moving the manufacturing. Right. But even in that case, I think we all want the same thing. And this populist nationalist streak, I think we all had it. We just forgot about it. I think we got so, you know, inured to this globalist, elitist, Davos man mentality that you know, when Trump started, it was like, oh, that's not going to fly. And then the more I started thinking about it, it's like, you know what? I want us to be first, too. I want Americans to do better than everyone else, and I'm not shy about it. So it sort of conjured up what we've lost for a while, I think. Hey, Laura, you're both an interviewer and an interviewee. I'm not sure which you are now, and it pains me deeply that you're a Fox contributor and you can't come on Squawk Box so many times. I'm serious. So many times it's like, get Laura Ingraham. I want her on to talk about. And we can't. But why don't you just make it official and take that 9 p.m. spot? Seriously. Why don't you do that? The Megyn Kelly spot.
Yeah.
Will they offer that? Huh?
Well, I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think that's the God's plan for me. 9 o'clock. I have, you know, could I do it with my eyes closed? Would I kick butt in the ratings? Hello. Do I know the issues backwards and forwards? So yeah, would it be really funny too? You got it. That's probably the reason I won't get it.
I saw the other names being bandied about, and you know, I said, I don't, you know, I wouldn't even, I wouldn't think twice about it, but well, I figured I'd ask you, so maybe this will start the discussion.
Yeah, I think I've been on your show, like, years ago, before I worked for Fox.
I can't.
When I was at MSNBC, I think, you used to come on my show, I used to go on your show, but it's fun. Your show is a blast. I mean, you guys are out of control sometimes, though. I mean, I don't know. If you're drinking something and the cold pressed juices you're having in the morning, something else with that kale, like, I'm not quite sure.
Lycoda and Kathy Lee. No, that's all. I don't know. And you know what? Like, you know, I'm censoring so many things that don't come out that's part of the beauty, is only letting things that hopefully you're not going to. There's a lot going on that doesn't come out there.
That's the show everyone wants to see. I've always said that at Fox. The show in the makeup room is probably get the highest ratings of all the shows on Fox, including O'Reilly. I mean, that's where the real conversation takes place.
That's Squawk Box Unhinged. That would be good.
No, I'll buy into that. Joe, let's talk about the Obamacare changes that I think will be phased in over time. I mean, we still don't have a complete sense of where the Republicans are going to go substantively. You know, they throw things out like health savings accounts and portability and even getting drug prices to be more competitive for American purchasers. But we certainly have seen a drag on this economy from the increased costs of health care since Obamacare was put into effect. And I don't think enough people talk about that, just what that ultimately does to the overall growth of this economy, or lack thereof.
And everybody has figures, and you know that you can always find a way of presenting your side of the argument in a way with figures that, if the other person arguing with you doesn't have their figures right at their fingertips, you suddenly have a different narrative. We had Zeke Emanuel on yesterday, pointed out that the premium increases that under under 40, what was he, 43? I guess he was 43. Under 43, that they averaged, I don't know, 80% versus 35 under Obama. I don't know the exact numbers that he gave, but he said these are facts that can't be changed. But that's just premium increases. That doesn't take into account, you know, the out-of-pocket expense and what that is now. And I don't think it took into account that it's really going to get out of control this year. They sort of back-end loaded it a certain way, so that a lot of the negative things weren't even happening to Obama when he got out of office. I don't know. So I don't know the end result but you just look at the quality of the jobs we've added to get down to. I mean, how many of these jobs are part-time? Obamacare has hurt the economy. There's no doubt in my mind, and it's hurt the quality of service as well. It's just these guys got to tread lightly because you know how the media is going to, if 20 million people somehow, if their coverage is interrupted or they lose it, you know how it's going to be portrayed.
Yeah.
In 2 years, there's going to be a problem, and in 4 years, there's going to be a problem.
What, Make America Sick Again is going to be their motto. And what's interesting, when you talk to doctors, and I have so many doctor friends because of all my various health issues over the years, but one of my good friends said, well, Laura, you don't realize how many people are putting off procedures and visits to the doctor because of out-of-pocket costs, because of the deductibles, because of you know, all the increased prices. It's just not worth it for them. So there's another aspect of Obamacare, again, that's not really factored into the way folks are talking about it. Before we let you go, Joe, there was a point yesterday on Special Report last night when Chuck Lane said, well, I have a real problem with Trump targeting individual CEOs and individual companies in these tweets, that should frighten most Americans. What would your reaction to that be?
You know, grow up. I mean, there may come a time where there is a tweet that becomes that becomes a real problem, I think. But in the past, what did they use? They used trial balloons. They used sources. They used, I'm hearing this. It's not that much different than it used to be. And to do a little bully pulpiting or a little body massage to some of these guys, the results that have come out, look at the results that you had with the ethics brouhaha. I mean, so far, it has not been the disaster that people have been forecasting. I love your buddy Charles Lane, whatever his name is, but I remember he had to pick his loser for the week, and it was after Trump went down to Mexico and looked so presidential and sort of, in my view anyway, and sort of handed the stage, he picked Trump. He was the biggest loser of the week. I mean, Charles works for the Washington Post, doesn't he? I mean, isn't that where he's from?
Yeah.
Okay. They got a little echo chamber, and they all finish each other's sentences. But how much of it is not fake news, and how much of it is music to their own ear? I don't know. But you always smile and talk nicely when you're.
Well,
when
what's
you're
always
on that show.
What's always befuddling to me is that, and I'm not focusing on Chuck Lane, but just in general, there seems to be no accountability in television among the commentariat for being consistently wrong. I mean, in business, if you're consistently wrong, you're going to be out. Right. But in television, you could be wrong about issue after issue, and you just get increases in pay.
Look what we were told for a year prior to November 8th, and look what we've been told for the last couple of months since November 8th. I mean, the reality of what supposedly was happening, according to the media, leading up to the election, as it turned out, what we saw on that night, it had no bearing on what the real reality or tone of the country was feeling at the time. That was the tone of what the people telling us what the country was feeling. That was their tone. And even since then, we've seen some of the same thing. So for only one crystal clear night did we see exactly how the country weighed in on all these issues. But here we are again in the echo chamber and the vortex that is the mainstream media. And you see it and I see it, but not everyone does, I don't think.
Well, you all have Megyn Kelly over there now at NBC, so I hope that all works out. I hope that's a good investment. That's a big chunk of change. Wow. We'll see if she does better than Katie Couric, Meredith Vieira. Who else? Who are they listed people who they put in the morning? Well, there's a lot of people. A lot of people have tried the daytime TV deal, and we'll see. I wish her the best, and nothing but roses. Yeah, I'd be for Kernan for the morning. Kernan in the morning, and I'll be your co-host, and we'll just beat everybody. Well, okay, we'll beat all the other people. You and I will do it together.
Now you're talking. that I can definitely agree with.
Joe Kernan. Joe Kernan, it's great to talk to you. God bless. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you soon. Stay with us.
The Laura Ingraham Show.